just over a week ago, I officially had a wedding on the West Coast, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful setting on the bluff overlooking the valley below. As usual, at the rehearsal, there were distractions. People were kind of coming in with other things on their mind, coming from out of town. It was a reunion of old friends, and some folks had their cell phones out because they were preoccupied by the work that they still had to do. So to try to put everybody on the same page, I looked at the gathering of family and friends and I gestured to the valley below. And I said, sometimes I think we have to think higher, to look deeper, to put our minds here and to see things from God's perspective and not our own. And then I said, can we approach this weekend with a different mindset? So many of you are hearing voices of preoccupation inside. Can you talk to your souls before your souls talk to you? And then because we were on the mount, I said, you know, when Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we also know that in 1 John, the Bible says, God is love. And here we are. So I said, if we can calm our hearts, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Maybe you'll see love. Maybe you'll see love in a different way, and in a deeper way than you've ever experienced it before. So I share that story to say, what's on your mind this morning? What are you thinking about? The windows in your car last night? Did someone look up on the map this morning? Will the Commanders beat the Bears on Monday night? Do I trust my kids alone to wonder who else during the week's will matter? Or even will this loneliness or sadness ever lift? So let me just pray briefly before we get into God's word and see what he has to say for us this morning. So Lord Jesus Christ, these are my words, but your words may have worked in our flesh and our hearts. And may the Spirit of Christ rule with us today. In Jesus' name. So we're in this series called All in All. We're focusing on Jesus Christ. He is a name above all names. So what I want to do is read, beginning with Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, starting in chapter 3 with verse 1. And just a sort of a simple reminder, this is one of the prison epistles. Paul is still in prison while he writes this, meaning he can be confined in prison, but he wasn't because of this. Listen, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these things, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature with all its wicked deeds, and put on your new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator, and become like Him. And this worth reading again. Put on your new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator, and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Democrat or Republican. Christ is all that matters. God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, church. So what's on your mind this morning? It's a different question than what's in your wallet, although that might be in some people's minds this morning as well. Because what's on your mind clarifies you and your priorities. And it either leads you, what's on your mind, to either hope or despair. So I want to break this passage up into three sections this morning. One is, are we raised with Christ in those first four verses? And then there's the erosion of hope. And finally, the church reimagined. Verse 1 says, since you have been raised in new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. John Piper calls verses 1 through 4 of Colossians 3 unbelievable certainties. Unbelievable unless the Spirit of God is working in our heart. I think this means without the external, self-existent reality of God, that nothing in these verses is real. Set your mind on things of heaven. Yeah. If God is not real, really real, it means that our faith is make-believe. Is God real or not? Is there a heaven or not? Have we been raised in new life with Christ? Is Christ real and present with us every day or not? Piper says these realities in Colossians 3 are so astounding that if you see them and believe them for what they really are, you will be radically and persuasively different in your life. So I have a little boat that I tow every summer up 95 to the big ocean waters of Maine. My wife no longer thinks I'm crazy. She just says it's what we do, yes. My wife doesn't like to be in the open water with the waves and the whales and the great white sharks. I kind of go towards them. Safety third, I say. So one day I said, you know, honey, we're going to do something different. It's just you and me down this Palmer River into the little town. Just as we entered the river, funny ocean, I thought this is going to be a beautiful experience. We heard the engine gave out. So I tied my little boat to a lobster buoy before my uncle came in his boat to Thompson. So there we sit, bobbing up and down and falling in love all over again. I made that. Incessant waves of the sea will roll under the boot of your mind. Some small, barely noticed, and some huge, almost capsizing your life. He goes on to say, set your mind on things of God, so that the 10,000 waves in the world can roll under your boat and turn you. Think higher, to live deeper, what's on your mind today? What comes out of you when you're squeezed or pressured? What's in the deepest part of you? Have we been raised with Christ? I think it's the erosion of hope that makes life hard. Read Ephesians 3:5 through 9 again. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when you were still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old nature with its wicked deeds. Be the church. Several years ago on Christmas Eve, when my children were teenagers, they woke me up the night before I was preparing to preach and support a lot of services at home. So I stormed out of my room in my boxer shorts with my hair tousled mess and started screaming in anger at this injustice. So my children quieted down in fear and in respect until I went back into my room and heard them laughing at my T-Rex screeching and my appearance. And you know what, folks? I know that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. We need grace. But if we are not raised with Christ, we will just be another angry, broken part without hope and a broken heart. St. Augustine said, Tim Keller said, we live in a world of disorder, a world where our idols become more important than the living God. Keller defines an idol as this, a good thing that becomes an ultimate thing. We think of idols as like worshiping some wooden or cement. Means there's nothing yesterday, I went into Short Pond in the afternoon, and I'm on Broad Street. It's the same as when I was in the morning. I'm going to Chesterfield to the afternoon. I just get crowded. And light up for mine, and there's a guy. I'm like, I got to make this line. But there are all loaded cars, and so I was being gracious to them. Sometimes this keeping your mind on Christ is a discipline. I didn't say this in the last sermon. It's obedience. I don't like the word obedience. I like safety third. It's your emotional thought that makes life hard. When there's no hope here on this world, we get angry. So where is our of gold and all what you're trying to imagine heaven to be? Those are material things. Some of those things might be there, but think of heaven. Think of the character of God and His presence with us forever, with those that we love. Think of God's unfailing love. Think of His love for the prodigal son and His grace to save them. Think of loved ones that you may see again. Think of a risen Savior who defeated death and is incomparable power for us who believe. Live with that heaven mindset before you're in heaven. Think higher to live deeper. Think of the character of God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The Psalms proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display the knowledge of the living God. Think of higher things. Think of ex nihilo. That out of nothing God creates again and again. He creates new hearts. He creates new bodies. He reconciles. Set your mind on things above in a world where there will be no more crying or pain. But until then, God will call us as a church together with purpose and with hope until He takes us to a life beyond our wildest dreams. Stay near to one another to live in this life. Toward the end of his life, Tim Keller said that he was not primarily fighting cancer, but fighting his sin. He said, if it wasn't for my sin, I would be completely resting in Christ. Then the resurrection would be spiritually real to me, and I would be absent. Something that we enjoy because we don't expect the latest vacation, our favorite restaurant, or the hug from someone we love to meet our deepest needs. These things become what differs to the joy, not ultimate peace. What will be in your wardrobe this week? What will you put on? What will we wake up? Christian theologian lived just 200 years after Jesus Christ lived on us. Tertullian is famous for seeing how these Christians live one another. This is the church that reimagined. This is again the 12 through 14 of Colossians 3. Since God showed you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgive us of our sins, and we forgive those who sin against us.
all clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Several years ago, I interviewed Richard Halverson, a mentor of mine for a seminary class. He talked about his mindset and his intimacy with Christ. We were talking about remaining in Christ together. He said, I don't get